I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watch Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat is a 2007 American anthology horror film written and directed by Michael Dougherty. The movie contains five interwoven stories that occur on the same block on Halloween. A couple finds out what happens when they blow out a jack-o'-lantern before midnight, a high school principal has a secret life as a serial killer, a college virgin might have met the right guy for her, a group of mean teens play a prank that they take too far, and a hermit is visited by a unique trick or treater.
I think you fucked up the pronunciation of the movie there.
Listen to this fucking guy.
I don't know if he's just cracking a joke or if he genuinely was not listening before the conversation.
No, I was listening. Okay. I was listening. Okay. Okay. I heard the whole thing.
Yeah. Because when you did the title, Tom looked at me and I thought, oh, he doesn't know that we just had the conversation.
No, we just had that conversation.
I heard the conversation and I went, ah. Oh. I have no choice but violence.
Fucking idiot.
Great fucking movie.
Yeah, yes. I really enjoyed it.
This is delightful. Mm-hmm. This should be popping off.
Yeah, was it Cargill that said this?
Yes. So let me tell you why this wasn't popping off, because it's too tragic a fact for me not to share at this point.
Oh, nice.
So the film was originally slated to be released in October 2007, of course for a Halloween release. This to me feels like what Christmas movies feel like at Christmas.
Yes.
This feels like that for a Halloween
thing. Yes, 100%. It's spooky, goofy. Yeah. Ugh, it's everything beautiful.
Right. It is dripping in sort of that Halloween aesthetic. It is like literally like equivalent to Christmas movies that are just so over the top, decked out in Christmas. This is that for Halloween.
It's very much a movie made by someone who loves Halloween.
Yeah. Fantastic. Loves the aesthetic, loves the vibe of it all.
I'm seeing more of it. Mm. And I find it so funny that there's this subset of cunts in this country who are like, oh, why are you bringing an American? What do you mean? Like, why don't we we have a public holiday for fucking horse races and the king's, not even the king's fucking birthday.
Right. Men kicking a ball around. Who gives a shit?
Whoa. Put some respect on it, please.
Whoa.
I got the exact reaction I was hoping for.
But
for Halloween, when you see people in Australia complain about it, it's kind of like,
you don't participate.
It's not for you, it's for the kids.
No, it's for
the kids. Look at the kids who fucking from like 4 o'clock are going around in a cool little costume and having a great time.
Like a memorable, beautiful night that they look forward to. Like,
yes.
Why would we not want to create more situations and experiences like that for all of us?
Mm-hmm. So the suburb that I live in, which is redacted, really gets behind it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. And because it also works perfectly in Australia because it's daylight savings. Mm. So it's like, doesn't get dark till like 8:30.
Yeah.
So like, you'll be coming home from work, it's 5 o'clock. There's kids in costumes. There's parents in the park. There's people with decorations.
Yeah.
Absolutely pops off. And like people coming and knocking. I've always got some treats ready to go just in case.
Yep. Yeah.
Sometimes I don't make it to Halloween.
And where I live in Redacted, certain houses...
It's like weird we're in the same suburb.
Not everybody gets behind it, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of houses that put in like a shitload of effort.
Yeah,
that's cool. And that's when the kids know and the parents know, all right, let's go into this area
exactly.
and check out this
that's
one.
What I think.
They're not knocking on every door and... You know, dealing with dickhead, grumpy old guy.
Right.
They're dealing with like people who are.
You opt in.
Who are like, this is a great thing for kids.
Exactly.
It's awesome. It's great for the community.
If you decorate your house, you're good to go.
Yes.
You're welcoming trick or treaters. If you don't, you're not.
Yep.
It's very simple.
I'm pretty sure that's even how it works in the States. If you don't have your light on and you don't have anything out the front, they won't knock on you.
Then you're a national disgrace.
Yeah. And you get visited
you've broken
by
the rules.
A special trick or treater. Yeah, anyway, let's hear about this tragedy.
So this tragedy. So obviously it was meant to be released on Halloween for obvious reasons. And then it got pulled by Warner Brothers without any explanation or reason. They didn't have one, right? So what I read, it sort of says they think that potentially Saw 4 was coming out, was slated for release around the same time.
That's right. All the Saw movies had the Halloween release for like 10 years.
And so they didn't want to go up against it. So, okay, there was a brief talk about them. Okay, they're going to release it for Halloween 2008. That didn't happen. Maybe they're going to release it for Halloween 2009. That never happened. Never came out after it had been made for years until finally it was released straight to DVD in October 2009.
That is so fucked.
Isn't that terrible?
It's such a good fucking movie. Also, like, and I'll just use like Oppenheimer and Barbie as an example.
Right.
There can be two things out at the cinema that people want to watch at the same fucking time. Especially that time of year, yep. Halloween. Mm. Give me all the scary movies.
Set up a double. Watch them back to back.
That's, they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
What's very funny is the studio...
So this was just DVD. It never came out in cinema.
Yeah, it was made... It was ready to be released in 2007. 2 years later, it goes straight to DVD.
I'm glad we're doing an episode about it so some people who don't know about it like we did
can
fucking find it and enjoy it. Because next Halloween, I'll put this in. I'll watch it again. Yeah. I really liked it.
I will watch it again for Halloween with my partner who probably hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
Can I give you a nice fact then?
All right.
So 2002, it gets its first cinema release.
2012?
Sorry. 2022 is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
It gets its first cinema release. So because it's slowly been growing this cult
just like
following,
as a one-off sort of Halloween.
Just like, at a few venues.
Did it absolutely go off the chain?
I have to imagine it did. Because
that's the dream there. Getting a little cheeky release for Halloween. A bit like how, what's that, the cinema in Melbourne that always plays The Room every whatever day?
Oh, The Nova, yeah.
The Nova, you can go and watch The Room.
Mm.
I love that kind of idea of re-releasing a movie, making it a bit of an event, dress up in costume, bring a little pumpkin, get some snacks.
Yeah.
Big fan of it. Have a little boy running around the cinema wearing a sack on his head.
Yeah.
Do you want to know a fun fact about that little boy? That little boy is a little pervert in the peering in through the change rooms.
Yeah.
That is it's the same kid.
Guy. Right.
Plays. That's why when we're looking at the credits, it's like Sam Peeping Tom. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The Peeping Tom is a little boy and he also plays Sam the pumpkin sackhead little trickster. Yeah.
Good on him.
The spirit of Halloween.
Great physical performance.
Yeah.
That's magic of cinema, I think, really.
Yeah.
So you'll have something that just bombs or no one even hears about and then it means a lot to other people. I'm sure Ted Danson is not aware that a film that he made in the mid-90s is something that lives in my head every day.
Do you know, I went on to the Loch Ness Letterbox the other day and was looking through the top reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was 8 of the top 10 were Sean Carney.
It can't be that many.
I think it was 8. Maybe it was like 7.
I don't think I've logged it 8 times.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe 6. Either way, it was over half.
There you go.
That's so funny. No, that's good. You're keeping, but this is the same thing. You're keeping me. I'm glad this got the release because it's so frustrating. And the irony of Warner Brothers pulling it and years later profiting off Barbieheimer.
Right.
That's both those movies. No, wait. Yeah. Warner Brothers with Barbie.
Barbie,
Being able to have. Backing their movie in to come out at the same time as Oppenheimer because it got this weird cultural thing. And then people kept trying to make more of them. Like, oh, go see this and this. Ha, ah, lol.
Mm.
Saw Patrol. We'll go watch Saw X and Paw Patrol.
Right. Like, no, that's the perfect example.
You can't make it.
No.
It has to happen organic. And this is the thing that studios will never understand.
Yeah.
And why all the strikes that have been happening over the last 12 months are so important and that proves that they will never understand is they don't get what they're fucking doing.
No.
They don't understand people.
They don't even understand their own product, I think, most of the time.
No. That bums me out, but I'm glad it's got a...
That breaks my heart for the filmmakers.
Yes.
Mickey D, I'm glad you got something in there.
Well, Tom, weren't you saying that there's going to be a sequel or something like that?
Well, so on IMDb, there is a Trick or Treat 2 that has been greenlit, but it doesn't have a date for release. So who knows? Maybe it only got greenlit on the back of the cult status of 2022.
To me, they botched something real special. This could have been something that fucking studio could have released a Trick or Treat movie every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume that's what the angle was.
Yeah. You'd think so. And then they didn't even get it right the first 3 years they had this fucking movie.
Oh,
so
man.
Just sitting there. And like we said, it is the perfect Halloween movie. Mm.
More I'm talking about. So I haven't dropped the review on my letterbox yet. And I was talking, it's like a 4 to 5 for me. Maybe it's not fun. I'm talking about now. It's going to be 5. Boys.
Good for you, man. Good for you. I think I'm going
to
give it a...
I'm genuinely excited
for me, it's a really strong
it
4,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Just a great, great movie.
Great characters. Great little... I love a movie with lots of moving parts. It's so funny, but it's Magnolia, but in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Those like ensemble casts with all these interconnected stories that all take place over the course of like the same period of time.
Yes.
Yeah. When we started and you said to me, this is going to be 4 different stories. I was like, really? I kind of was like, I just want to lock in on a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize though 4 that are going to like overlap.
Yeah,
they're all in the same town, all in the same night.
Love that format.
And it was really cool.
Yeah.
I think, again, like it's such a great format. It's such a great format for horror stories. I think like we've all read quite a few horror stories now. And I think horror short stories work really well because they can really come in with a punch and leave
you
six.
They can just get in real quick and ruin your life.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you want.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which this one does. Like this one starts absolutely fucked.
Off the chain.
It's happening. That guy's watching porn.
Yes.
His wife gets absolutely obliterated.
Yeah.
Poor, who was it? We were looking it up and you were like, who's Leslie Bibb? She's copping it.
Yeah.
Because she blew out a candle at a jack-o'-lantern.
Well, it's her own fault, mate. Don't be packing up the decorations.
Yeah, horny husband warned you.
Yeah.
So, you know, but agree. Like, who's packing up Halloween decorations the night of?
Yeah, that's wild.
That's huge.
Well, Leslie Bibb.
Maybe people do that. I guess. I can't imagine.
I don't think people do.
They're punished.
Boys, when do you pack up your Christmas tree?
Oh, ages after.
February, right?
Way too late.
Never.
Also, the twist of how the story is so, and it's a little bit predictable. We were sort of saying, oh, they're doing this. Right. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, we're doing that. And it's kind of fun to like have that thing. Like, again, imagine this, like a cinema, packed cinema.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, the twists, the reveals, the fun little bits, the genuine spooks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because there are like, it's a bit playful and goofy.
Mm.
Some of the scares in it, though, like that first sequence where she gets attacked is fucked up. The sequence with the kids coming out of the fog is really spooky.
Yeah.
There's some genuinely spooky beats in it. And then there's also an incredibly funny subplot about a man just trying to kill a kid. So funny.
The principal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan Baker.
The evil Ned Flanders.
Amazing. Again, like, so we had the Leslie Bibb part, and then we pretty much went straight to him from... Oh, maybe we had the introduction to the girls.
I think we did, yeah.
The four girls.
You intro to the girls, and then it's that kid going along smashing all the pumpkins.
Right, right.
And then you meet Dylan.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Steve.
Because the kid is, like, pretty horrible in the sense
he's smashing pumpkins. He's stealing more candy than he needs to.
Exactly right. And then this guy's being so nice to him and chatting with him.
Well, being a bit of a cheeky cunt to him. Like, come on.
Yeah. I think he says something. Yeah, not good for your diabetes or something. Is what he says to him. Yeah.
Okay. So not nice necessarily, but like, you know. And then it takes this kind of hard right turn where the kid just starts vomiting up this brown bile group. And then the other guy, what's the character's name?
Steve. Oh, Dylan Baker.
Dylan Baker is like very chill about it because, of course, he's poisoned the child.
Yeah. I love that then when you go back in the house, then in like a couple of scenes later, there's just a big bottle that says potassium chloride. Yeah. You
know, it knows exactly what it's doing. 100%. It's great. I think it's very funny that he just does that in view of the street.
Yeah.
Like on the front. Like he's pretty bad at what he does.
Terrible.
Even when he's digging the grave later, like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Like your neighbor could look in and see you. He sees you standing in a grave.
Right, right.
Even makes a joke about you digging bodies and you're just kind of like,
it's a septic tank.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he's not a very capable serial killer. Yeah. And then you get the really nice little twist of the kid annoying him. You're like, fuck, he's going to kill his own kid.
Yeah.
No. His kid's also a serial killer.
He's training him. They're both killing people.
That's that's the most psycho part.
Yeah.
I think so too. But like, because it happens so early, you're like, all right, I'm strapped in. Let's go on this carnival ride. Mm-hmm. And it plays like a carnival ride. Like it has like all these crazy twists.
It's a ghost train.
It's a ghost train.
Great.
Yes, Tom. Like, and it is such a joy to be on that train.
Yeah. I will say, just while we're talking around it, what was your favorite vignette?
I think I liked the Anna Paquin one.
I really liked that one.
That was the most satisfying.
Great twist. Great reveal. We were trying to guess what it was. There's so many like excellent little throwaway lines that when you get the reveal, you go back. Like we were sitting there talking. There's one of the lines where it's like, and you got with a girl. And she's like, yeah, she had a nice ass and it all tastes the same. And the first point you're like, huh, horny.
She's
a lady. You're like, oh, she did eat ass, but she ate the whole ass and then also the legs.
Chomp the cheeks, chop the whole thing.
Also quite like the Brian Cox segment as well. Just something funny about
Christmas
watching
Carol,
like,
but Halloween.
Watching like a thespian like Brian Cox just battle this fucking thing was really great.
And that's it. Like, so obviously he said it to be like the Scrooge of Halloween. I also read his appearance. They literally give him prosthetics to try to make him look more like John Carpenter.
Oh, wow. Well,
that was the goal.
You were saying, if you didn't know it was Brian Cox, you might not have picked it.
There were times I'm like, wow, that really doesn't, like, he's hidden behind all that stuff.
What's the long hair? And I love that there are, like, so many grandfathers of horror that are just, like, old dudes with really long hair. I'm thinking John Carpenter. I'm thinking Mick Garris. Like, there are so many boys out there just with long, long hair who are like, fuck, I love ghouls.
Yeah.
My name's two. But that's, you know, there's probably more that I haven't named.
I also, the one with the kids with their jack o' lanterns, and they're going off to find the kids who are
the school bus one. That looked really fucking good.
I think I was really impressed by that, both the retelling of the school bus story and all the masks these kids were wearing. And so obviously they're like all just sort of disabled kids, and I even read that they literally got disabled kids to play these parts.
Oh wow.
They had an absolute ball doing this. Like, genuinely, they said it had a great time
getting them then to dress up creepy and scary. That's fucking good.
And then I think the aesthetic of like when they went down into the quarry, the like fucking nailed that. Like, that was like so there's this comic book sort of aesthetic around this as well for the front and end credits. And I think it played really well because you're like, yeah, there are scenes where you're like, boom, that is a scene from a comic book right there.
The shot of her going back up after she's abandoned them and she's just holding the pumpkin.
Yeah.
And it's just that great shot of the lift going up
smoke,
as they're like
helping. Smoke machine too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely pumping.
Massive. Yeah.
I don't know how much of the budget was on smoke, but I can only imagine heaps. The other great thing about it, there's a little bit of CGI in there's that one shot when Anna Paquin like looks up and her face kind of elongates into a wolf.
Yeah.
But for the most part, everything is practical.
I'll allow that though.
Yeah,
correct. Because it does look silly, but it's kind of like, no, that's the vibe that they've captured, I think.
Yeah. The peeling off of the skin.
Oh, that was so good.
But like clothes. Amazing. Like they're pulling their fingers off like gloves. Yeah. They're peeling their legs off like long boots. Yeah. Oh.
Really great. Can I give you a fact on this?
Please. Yes,
Sean Carney, you are going to like this fact.
Mm-hmm.
So all the werewolves in this film were created by Tatopopoulos Studios, the same studio
that
brought you the Lycans in the Underworld trilogy.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, PT's back.
I'm surprised you didn't recognize it.
Well, I wanted to believe.
Yeah.
They had a bit of like Dog Soldier vibe at some point.
Yeah.
I just think I don't know. Cinematic werewolves, when they're in that sort of Dog Soldier Underworld.
Right.
That's prime time.
It's good stuff.
Man. Oh, yeah. That's so good.
Big fan.
Fuck. I'm glad he's still out there. I'm going to write him a letter.
Yeah.
You haven't pledged to write anyone a letter for ages.
Well, Patrick's getting one.
He's on the list.
Fuck. Did you say it was Tatopoulos Studios or something?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Go on and look that up. I hope they're pumping out movies every year.
Fuck, yes.
But yeah, so like, again, you think like this obviously is like, oh, goofy little Halloween movie, sort of got Goosebumps vibe, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think to me, like Goosebumps elevated. I really thought they'd done. And it's because they put in the efforts, obviously, like they drenched every scene with Halloween vibes. They made sure every shot had this like beautiful comic book aesthetic to it. The sound, the music was like this.
Oh, it's not Danny Elfman, but it sounds like a vintage Tim Burton, Danny Elfman, kooky, spooky score.
Yeah.
And that's just like, honestly, it fucking rocks.
Yeah.
Watch this movie. I'm going to maybe make it a tradition. Maybe watch it every Halloween.
Yeah.
I think so. I'd love to do a screening of this if we could. Like
that. Do like a Halloween party and watch this.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I could do that. My house is very small.
We'll go to a cinema, Tom.
Yeah, when he said screening, I think he meant a proper screening.
We'll take over a cinema.
Not a not this. Yeah, something get redacted.
We did get invited to do one in Hobart, so potentially that could be a go-up. But yeah, it would be amazing too. Watching this with a crowd would be a pure joy, truly. I think it's like rife for it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boys, where are we scared?
There's some spooky shit for sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't like fall into the hardcore section.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I'm wearing a t-shirt that currently says Cowardly Custard.
Yeah.
I'm a Cowardly Custard.
Yeah. Our baseline is Custard and Cowardly.
There's some creepy, like especially that last sequence with Krieg where he's trying to open the door with his fucked up glass fingers.
Yeah.
And instead of like, you assume, oh, it's going to appear at the top of the stairs and waddle down the stairs.
Right.
It appears like hanging down from the roof, looks at him and then crawls across the roof.
Looks massive too on the roof.
Yeah.
Like, that was a weird angle shot.
I'm guessing they had to have like an adult
stuntman. Yeah, maybe it was too unsafe to have the kid on the roof.
I did read they had a child stunt person.
Yeah,
okay, that was a kid.
Yeah. It's funny, like it looked quite sinister and creepy. But then anytime there was like a sort of wide shot of him like standing in a doorway or something like that and he looked so small and my mind was just like, it's a kid in a costume.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea. The reason that people just ignore him is he just looks like a kid in a costume.
I like it. I think the movie's got that balance between silliness and spooks.
They've
and
it really
hits the brief big time.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Yeah. As well as I think the sort of zombie kids that had gone over in the bus.
Oh, they were creepy.
They were real bad, especially when they were on his doorstep.
Yeah.
And so like when you heard the knock at the door, I think, Tom, you're like, it's the kids. He's, yeah. He thought he got away with it.
It was so weird. I was like, oh, they've redeemed a child.
Yeah. No, but
you know what's funny? Quite often with horror movies like this, you get to the end and they just tack on a rude scene right. at the end. And you're a bit like, oh, come on, man. Everything yeah. was pretty nice there at the end. And then
I'm looking at you, Derrickson.
Yeah, and then right. you spooked us with that. But this is actually a good one because it's like you get to that point where your mind's like, oh, wait. He didn't deserve to get away with it. No. And then, great ending.
Well, can I give you a little Easter eggy thing? Because obviously this was all interwoven. In the first 3 minutes, you see those kids leaving his house.
Oh, I didn't even pick
in
that
the
up.
First scene. No, why would you? Because in the background, he's busy watching.
Because he's across the road. You see that shot happen where the little girl, you see the wagon come along with Rhonda the witch.
Yep.
She almost gets hit by the Audi, which is the werewolf girls. Right. He's watching this happen from across the road. Oh, this is a movie that's going to reward rewatching. Because again, it's that whole everything
interwoven
all together.
And that's it. I think the interwovenness is really what elevates it for me above just sort of any other anthology. I think obviously it's like apparently the editing was really difficult because they had to try to get it all right.
Yeah.
But I think it pays off and plays like so much more rewarding and satisfying for an audience than just like here are four stories or five stories or whatever.
Which was my fear of what it would be.
Exactly. Yeah. And but some reason you just go through that next effort, you make them all intertwined, and it's the best experience. Yeah. It's so fun. You know?
It sings.
Yeah.
There. Just speaking of like all the editing and work that had to go in it, there were 18 drafts of the script. And that the continuing theme. Theme for the creators was it was about representing the journey you go on as you experience Halloween. So it's like Dylan Baker and his son. It's about how you discover Halloween for the first time
by murdering children. Yeah.
The second one is, you know, the kids is you and your friends roaming around trick or treating and collecting pumpkins.
Yes, yep.
The Anna Paquin story is when you're a bit older, and then it comes about going to parties and hooking up. And then the final story is when you're old and you don't like to participate anymore because you're a curmudgeon.
You're the Scrooge.
This movie, that's great.
They literally call him the Scrooge of Halloween.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, again, like. Man, I wish we had more of them.
Yeah.
Really fun. And like, especially if you start getting people like Carl Gillian or Joe Hill or like these modern horror writers to come in and go, hey, write one. We'll work it into the five different stories or whatever.
Yeah, awesome.
It could be like VHS, but the goofy, fun, kooky. Yeah. I'm like, horror fans love this.
There's parts of VHS that are pretty goofy. And
right.
Okay. They're still spooky. I do love this world, this like little mini snapshot. It is also funny, just flicking through that too, that they had to create fake chocolate because no chocolate wanted to be associated with any like the weaponized chocolate.
Oh, the poisoning and putting...
So there's one called Big Fudge Log, which is just very funny.
Big Fudge Log.
Okay.
Yeah, fucking hell.
All right, guys. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
It's so hard. Dylan Baker is an idiot.
Oh, he's dumb as shit.
But it's weirly.
But it's because he just keeps getting. It's because he kept getting away with it.
Yeah, we saw him kill kill the woman on the street.
Yeah,
yep. And he's also there's a second body in that hole that he digs.
Yes, that's true.
He's foolish, and then he gets such a great come up.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
Check him off. Brian Cox, I don't think is foolish. I think he puts up a good fight, and then ultimately the chocolate giving the treat saves him.
Yeah,
for a certain time,
a little bit. Yeah.
Anna Paquin. Well, no, because like by the end of it, you're like, nah, this is all part of the master plan.
She's correct.
Mission accomplished. Yeah. Well done.
The kids who choose to
tease dumb bully girl. Oh, you're an idiot.
She's an idiot, though.
You deserved it.
Yep, yeah, correct. Even it's
all of them deserved it.
I measure not necessarily in what they do bad, but anytime someone sees a pumpkin and then puts it out, it's like you idiots.
Mm.
Yeah. That's who's like the golden rule of this.
Yeah. So Leslie Bibb, obviously, foolish. Yeah.
But the two rules that you talked about, Dan, at the very start, they do that like
they give you four rules.
That infomercial for like what to do for Halloween, and it's like don't be by yourself, stay on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Any of the characters that are by themselves or stray from the path.
Right.
Die.
Yep. Exactly. This is where.
So for Anna Paquin, but it's the flip
she's,
of it.
Well,
really.
She's the monster.
She is the monster.
In that instance, Dylan Baker is
he has strayed from the path.
And I like that because you see what's the kid called? The little sackhead kid.
Sam.
You see Sam with Dylan Baker at the start, but Dylan Baker gives him chocolate. So he's followed the rules.
Yep.
And so he gets away with murdering children.
It's almost like a polite respect.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. The thing for Sam is that he's just separate to all of this. He's not there to punish wrongdoers. He's there to punish you he's literally the trick.
Yeah.
So the whole thing of trick or treat is it's if you don't have candy, you get a trick. That's what the trick or treat
you get
means.
Your house covered in toilet paper.
Yeah. Right. For Sam, that's the whole thing when he puts the blood all over the walls, trick or treat, give me something good to eat. Yeah. Like, you don't have a treat for me, you get a trick. And that trick is your death.
You're dying, And then for the serial killer, he strays off the path, he goes alone. Okay. Well, you were doing well, and now you didn't, so you get punished.
Even the woman that he kills, she's by herself.
Right.
Like she
right.
walks down, she's down an alleyway, she's within, off the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then she gets dragged into the alleyway again, and then she's dead.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily she deserves it. I'm just saying that if you...
Right.
Everyone who goes off the beaten path, including the school bus of kids, the bus driver, the kids who taunt the school kids, or who doesn't, like, participate in Halloween. You know, Rhonda keeps that pumpkin because she's like, if you don't
just Rhonda's keep the pumpkin lit, you'll be safe. Yeah, Rhonda's following the rules. Big respect for Rhonda.
I fucking love that moment where her and Pumpkin and Sam cross paths and he just sort of like nods at her.
Yeah. It's clearly the best moment of the movie.
Happy Halloween to you, Mum.
It's great stuff. Well, I also read, I read at the start, there's this, the newscast of the Halloween parade where they've got like the thing coming down the middle of the street. And the reporter goes, werewolves, zombies, and demons of every variety have descended on this normally sleepy town of Warren Valley, Ohio. And we literally get werewolves, zombies, as in the dead kids, and demons and a demon. As in Sam. So, like, yeah, like, again, it's just like, it's throwing all these little Easter eggs, it's throwing all these little
stories. The rewatch will be very good.
It's going to be a good time.
I put it on right now?
Yeah, honestly, you could. It was that fun. Boys, how do we do in the situation?
Well, do we have access to the rules?
I think so. It's an infomercial.
Yeah. Can I just say, I will put it out there. I think we're also fine because I think we've talked about how we love the vibe of Halloween.
Yeah.
We're getting in on board. If that little sack boy comes and knocks on my door and he wants some candy, he's getting candy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not going to get killed by him.
No. Definitely not taking our decorations down because you wouldn't do that anyway.
There's a chance. I get killed by the werewolves.
Oh. Sean, I'm just going to put it out there.
If I feel the hint of Patrick Tatopoulos' design in the air, I'll be like, I got to go and see these werewolves.
I love that you're killed because of the design, and I know that I get killed by the werewolves because horny.
Oh. Yep.
But we're both horny. It's just we're horny for different things.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay.
What a way to go.
Yeah. Unless I'm like, oh, come on. I could be your pet friend.
Turn me. I'll slip my skin off.
It's very funny because it's like a whole girls trip thing. Yeah. And at work, there's a group of girls who go out for lunch. And one of the girls will go around to people's offices and be like, all right, girlies, we're going for lunch. And I'm part of that group.
Oh, right.
And when it's time to go to lunch, I get told, hey, girlie, are you coming to lunch? So I reckon maybe I'm okay.
Okay. You've got the goods. I think
maybe my inherent Ken nature. Yeah, if anything, that's how I die. But I think we will largely survive this film because we're not going to disrespect Halloween.
I personally think the three of us are going to have a terrific Halloween.
Like, yeah.
We get to go to the town that is the most Halloween town you've ever seen. Oh. I think it would be literally a wonderful evening.
It'd be very fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
And we're rule boys.
Yep. Yes, love them rules.
Except there's a hint of werewolf.
Can I ask, what costumes do we think we'd be wearing? So I've never really, obviously growing up in Australia, never really got the opportunity.
I've been to Halloween parties,
yep.
Like as a teenager and an adult where there's been like themes and stuff.
Maybe I phrase the question differently. Given all the horror movies we've now watched,
if
you had to dress up as one from a previous Scaredy Boy watch.
Yeah, Victor from Underworld.
Okay.
I could carry a sword all night.
Yeah.
And have blue probably, eye contacts in that look pointing in different directions.
Probably, I do like Dracula. I might go as Gary Oldman from Dracula.
Oh, mate. Great.
It's an elaborate costume. Great Something choice. Like Freddy Krueger would be fun.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
If I can get my hands on a wetsuit that I can zip down to my navel, I might be going as Tom from The Beast Must Die.
Okay. Oh, when you said wetsuit, I thought you were going to go as Shani from Bait.
Oh, that'd be pretty funny. Just going as...
No one would know who you are.
No. I'm Shani Vincent.
Yeah.
We would know.
There's always someone with a really elaborate costume that has to be explained.
Right.
Yeah. All I can think of now is that episode of It's Always Sunny where Mac and Dennis are going as Mario and Luigi, but Mac changes his mind and goes as Aragorn, who he calls Viggo Mortensen. And Dennis is like, oh, you fucked me, man. People are looking at me just like a weird Italian plumber. Who are you anyway? I'm the guy from Lord of the Rings, Viggo Mortensen. That's not even his name.
Who would you guys, mate?
So my like classic monster crush is, of course,
oh, yes.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
We have not watched Creature from the Black Lagoon for this podcast. Yep. But we have watched Monster Squad, which featured...
Gilman. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go Gilman.
You can go as Gilman. I can go as Dracula from Monster Squad.
Come on, Tom. You got to get on board the Monster Squad.
Well, then
Squad
I'm
train.
Going as a werewolf with testicles.
There it is.
Wolfman's got nuts.
So to be honest, Tom, that's going to get you in with the werewolf babes.
Oh, man. There we go.
Oh, it's
there
all
we
coming
go.
Together.
Or I get killed and then once you're in, I'm in.
Yeah. That or I get killed for appropriating the culture. I mean, I'm looking at something in front of us. Boys, that's what we're going as. We're wearing a red hat and a blue coat and a suitcase.
Three Paddingtons strolling down the street. Oh, man.
Man.
So, yeah, I think, obviously, we're doing just fine. Do you think we even notice Sam? Do we think we even notice anything's off in this town?
No, I don't think so.
We probably don't have a reason to notice him because if we're doing all the rules.
Right. I think we're oblivious in this situation.
Correct. He's probably holding up a picture of us and being like, everyone should fucking be like these guys.
Yeah, they're setting the standard
I think
Halloween.
We see him and then the next year we come to Halloween and we all dress up as him and he's fucking like chuffed as
he's
shit.
Off
yeah.
the chops.
He's like, so yeah. takes his mask off. We shit our pants. It's a little pumpkin boy.
What do we think of that pumpkin face?
Goofy as shit, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Goofy as shit, but I loved it.
I thought they really nailed the sackhead.
Sackhead was fantastic. Didn't need to see what was under
But I loved that he was just pumpkin. Like yeah. when he's being shot, he's just seeds and pumpkin goo.
So I did read, so for the writer-director, they had asked him like, oh, four sequels, rah, rah. He's like, oh, I'd love to show where Sam comes from. And he was talking about how he has this scene of him like literally just growing out of a pumpkin patch. And he said he saw this artwork. I can't remember who the artwork was by now. But basically it was this piece of art of this pumpkin patch. And then in one of the corners of the scene was a pumpkin carving its own face. Oh. And he's just like, that's awesome. I love whatever this is.
Yep.
And Sam kind of came from that idea.
Yeah. Creates himself.
Do you know what, boys? I'm gonna tell you something big here.
Okay.
I enjoy Trick or Treat.
More than?
What?
I thought you were going to go more than a certain other film. No, let you cook. I'm letting you cook.
Okay.
You go.
It's not that.
Okay.
So much that I am prepared to forgive Michael Dougherty, the director, for how dirty he did Sally Hawkins in Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
hurt you a lot, I know.
You've been sitting with that for a while.
When I saw that he had made that movie, I was like, you don't deserve my respect or love. And then I saw this movie and I was like, I've judged you harshly.
Would you want to see Sally come back for Trick or Treat 2?
Fuck yeah.
If Sally Hawkins was in Trick or Treat 2 and she was a werewolf, I would die willingly.
She's like, I'm going to rip you apart. You're like, yeah.
I'm fully aware. I'm just walking around town covered in butter.
Yes, please, Sally. Well, boys, that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you Scaredy listeners like this show would like to help us out, you can. It's very easy. You can save it at patreon.com/Scaredy Boys. $5 a month, you get access to a whole bunch of good Scaredy Boys spooky treats and some not so spooky treats, to be honest. Otherwise, you can also leave us a review wherever you listen, as that helps us out a lot. Or if you want to send us an email, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at Scaredy Boys Podcast, or on Twitter at Scaredy Boys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
They can just get in real quick and ruin your life.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.